eyes of. And I'll get to verse 5. And I'm going to read through verse 18. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The boy said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? He's talking about the waters of the world. 75% water, and we have no idea how deep it goes. He holds measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Now how? Behold your God. And measured out heaven with a span. That's a span. Thumb to the end of your fingers. That's a span. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles or islands as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. And he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He speaketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not move. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, as a curtain, or that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Lord? What they're doing is taking trees and carving them out images. Melting images, covered them with gold and silver, and bound down to them. They've got them gods that they have created. If you create God, you're better than the God you create. But you can't create God. All you create is abomination. God created the waters. He created the whole universe. To what then? To whom will you compare God? There is no comparison. I say there's two major problems in our world today. One of them is they have no conception of the sovereignty of God. Number two, they have no conception of the total depravity of man. Now, that's what we just finished in the bulletin, Brother Brown's series on man, the sinner. They're talking about now that we have no right to read the scriptures that condemn homosexuality. I will. I'm going to continue. They'll have to kill me to stop me or cut my tongue out like they did Watchman Nee. The Chinese did that. The Chinese communists did that, cut his tongue out, and the idiots thought they could stop him. And he wrote and got further out than he ever did with his tongue. The idiots think they can stop God, that you can change him. Well, real quick, I want to get over this. John Gill, in his book, Body of Divinity, he says on page one, he says, this is on the existence of God. Quote, I shall begin with the being of God, that God is, and proof and evidence of it, which is the foundation of all religion, true religion. For if there is no God, religion is a vain, empty thing. And it matters not what we believe, nor what we do. Since there is no superior being to whom we are accountable for either faith or practice. A tremendous statement. If there is no God, as much of the modern day world is saying, most of them in Washington, D.C. are saying that. Most of our government schools, for those that don't know better, public schools, that's what's being taught to the children in public schools. If they're teaching evolution, they're teaching no God. You can't have it both ways. And these cowardly, ungodly, so-called preachers in churches that go along with evolution, they're just liars all the way. They're an abomination unto God. They're not churches. They're not Christians at all. You have it both ways. Anyway, the sovereignty of God is that he has no equal. Amen. There's none other beside him. Look, you're in Isaiah, go to chapter 45. Verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, that's all the way over in Japan, and from the west, all around, that there is none beside me. Japan, you need to know that your ancestors are not God. Amen. You need to know that Buddha is not God. China, you need to know that Confucius is not God. Saudi Arabia, You need to know that Allah is not God. There is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else.
Amen.
I formed the light. In the beginning he said, let there be light, and there was light. And these so-called signs, I saw a sign on the back of a car, it was yesterday, the day before. It said, stand up for science. Well, if you analyze what that said, science is knowledge. I don't have to stand up for knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge. What they're talking about is stand up for evolution. That's what they're talking about. Billions of years and goo to you evolution. No, I won't stand up for that because it's all a lie. He says, I form the light and create darkness. What was there before Genesis 1:1? God. He said, I form the light and create darkness. I don't understand all of that, and I never will. My mind is not infinite. My mind is finite. He said, I make peace and create evil. Said, Brother Gum, what's that mean? Just what it says. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it.
Amen.
Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. You fools, atheists, so-called commies. You don't know it, but you're making war with the one who made you.
Amen.
And he said, woe unto you. Now what woe means? Very increased, intensive pain and sorrow. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. You know what a potsherd is? A piece of broken pottery. Now we all like pottery. All you ladies like pottery. I like pottery. It's very interesting to all of us. But what about broken pottery? Well, on the Antiques Roadshow, why, you can see pottery, and some of it, buddy, it brings big bucks, but not broken pottery. Broken pottery, the only thing I've ever heard of broken pottery being used for was scraping the boils on Job's skin. I guess they'd be useful for that. All them boils and pus pockets. And he scraped them. I hope he had some rags to wipe that stuff away. Ow. But potsherd, broken pottery, was doing some good. Now, if you're covered with boils, maybe you want a piece of broken pottery. If not, I'd say you want to get it in the trash or bury it. Put it back in the earth where it came from. So he says, potsherds, which are worth absolutely nothing, they've lost their usefulness. He's saying that's what these people are. Potsherds. And there's those potsherds striving with the potter. Can you imagine anything as ridiculous? Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? All of these mouths, lots of mouths out there. Can you imagine that goofy little thing that they vote for in New York City? Little old woman ain't got sense God gave a goose.
She sat down,
and all these men standing around her, blacks, whites, all of them, they got their mask on. And there she is with the mic.
Now I'm going to tell you what to do about all of this increase in crime. Quit building all those jails.
Did you hear that? Aren't you amazed at that? That anybody with 2 ounces of sense would listen to that woman. Yeah, I know how to quit to stop crime. Make everything legal, then there won't be no crime. But you see, we can't do that. We can't. We have no ability to do that. You see, God built into us a knowledge of his existence, that he is the judge and right and wrong. And though you may not know the Ten Commandments, yet you understand much of the Ten Commandments. You understand that it's wrong to steal your stuff. You may not think it wrong to steal my stuff, but you know good and well it's wrong to steal your stuff. You may know that it's wrong to kill you, but it may not be so wrong to murder me. Where'd you get that knowledge? You didn't get it from pond scum. I've seen what's in pond scum, haven't we? And there's stuff in it, but it ain't making no decisions. Well, anyway, God is supreme. He has no equal. Today's God, and this is brought about by most of the religions of today, he's helpless. He's effeminate. I heard some idiot the other day referring to God's she. I'm not putting women down. I'm telling you the Bible says God is he. Amen. Now, do I have an explanation for that? Yeah, I do. God is he. That's my explanation for it. What God says. He. Always in the masculine gender. But this God of today is, well, they refer to it as she, effeminate, the object of pity. Ooh, the Arminians say, poor God, he wants everybody to be saved and they won't let him. Poor God, everybody's turned against him and he doesn't know what to do. He's just wringing his hands. Poor God. Oh, sinner, won't you please open up your heart and let God come in? He's standing at your heart's door knocking and you won't open up. What a bunch of malarkey. What a bunch of garbage. Nowhere does the Bible say God is knocking at your heart's door. The Bible doesn't even say your heart has a door. Amen. Oh, it says the church at Laodicea has a door. And that's a church that's turned their back on the Lord. And they're going to be out. But nowhere in the Bible does God beg you to open up your heart. He said, I'll take that old cold stony heart and put in a new fleshly heart.
Amen.
That's what it says. You must be born again. And that is a sovereign work of the sovereign Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's why it doesn't tell you how to be born again. I challenge any of you preachers out there. Tell me how you're supposed to be born again. You can't do it. There's nothing in the Word that tells you how to be born again. It just tells you that you must be. And then in the very word, again, means from above. That means just like all works of creation, it comes from God. So, mean old man won't let God save him. I remember one time this question about it, and Brother Wrong, they're all talking. Some of these Arminians come in there at a chapel session, Lexington Baptist College. Well, Brother Wrong, tell us about it. Is it true? Can God save you against your will? He took his glasses off, leaned over on the pulpit, and cleared his voice. Remember how he used to do it? He said, brethren, we were all saved against our wills.
Amen.
I don't remember anybody coming back at him. And that is the truth. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power,
amen,
not yours.
Amen.
Anyhow, God's sovereign, God's supreme. Two scriptures and I'll get off of this. I've got to get something else. Romans 9. Verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
I've got a dozen other scriptures. The second thing. The total depravity of man. Mankind fell in Adam. That includes womankind. When I say mankind, I say in the sense of the Greek anthropos, all human beings. And a bunch of idiots out there that can't even use the word mankind. They're a bunch of idiots. They'll use a dictionary every now and then. I get so sick of them. They act like they know something. They don't know anything.
Amen.
Adam fell when he sinned against God. He's the federal head of the human race. Federal means representative. If we talk about the federal government, ostensibly, how do you like that word? The federal government represents us all. We found out that they only the Democrats only represent the Democrats. That's all they do. They've proven that. And anybody can't see, that's blind, boy. But allegedly, the federal government represents the whole country, everybody in it. Doesn't work out that way, but let me tell you that Adam, as the federal head of the human race, he did represent the human race, and the whole human race fell in Adam. That means they became depraved. When we talk about being depraved, Isaiah says, from the top of the head to the sole of the feet, there's no soundness in it. I've got a bunch of scriptures, but Here's what I want to tell you then. Depravity, total depravity, doesn't mean that man has no conscience. It doesn't even mean that man, natural man, has no spirit. We're all tripartite, body, soul, and spirit. Lost man, unregenerated man, has a spirit, and it is eternal, but it is dead to God. And that's what Paul said in Ephesians and some other places. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, that dead in trespasses and sins, that is total depravity. That doesn't mean that man is as bad as he can get or will get. Now, here's what I wanted to do here. Y'all stick with me here. I'm going to try to show you this. Some of you have seen this before, I think, but it's been a long time. I want to show you the difference between the extent of depravity and the degree of depravity. Now, I got a bottle of water here, and this is just best illustration, and don't hold me to being perfect, because it's not. Now, here's what I'm going to do right here. There's Adam before the fall.
Amen. Right.
Now, that's supposed to represent perfectly clear water. Adam has no sin in him. When God made him,
right,
he's without sin. I didn't say he was perfect. I said he was without sin. And I'm going to let that sit there. Now, show you again. Here's Adam. I'm going to leave him there so you can see him. But here's Adam. And this, I'd like to have black, but you can't get black. So here, I got food coloring here. And I appreciate Star getting this stuff ready and bringing it to me. Anyway, this, in our illustration, is not strychnine. I want the other one. When they both bit into the pills.
Arsenic.
Huh?
Arsenic.
No, that's not. There's another one.
Cyanide.
Cyanide's what I'm looking for. When the Nazis, I think that's how Hitler died. He bit into a cyanide. I don't think he shot himself. I think he bit into a cyanide tablet. All the rest of them did. They had tablets, and they did that at the Nuremberg trials, war crimes trials after the Second World War. Bunch of those big Nazis, they had the cyanide tablets, and they bit them, and as soon as they bit those tablets, they're gone. That's how fast acting. This is cyanide. Now, whether you could do this with cyanide, I don't even know, but I'm pretending this is cyanide. All right. Now, there's Adam's sin. That was supposed to represent one drop. Now, which part of this glass would one of you like to take a drink of? Huh? Well, that's pretty color. Would that get you? What do we got here? That poison has tainted every molecule of that water. There's Adam before the fall. There's Adam after the fall. So, well, how many sins did he commit? Well, strictly speaking, now we can make a case for this. No sin stands alone. Like James said, to commit one, you're guilty of all. So I deny that you can ever have just one sin. But in our illustration here, we're talking about, well, I'm not as bad as others. Yeah, but you're all bad.
Amen.
There's not a molecule that ain't affected.
Amen.
that's not tainted. There you are. Well, I'm better than those people. You may very well be. But you ain't better than that one. And that's where you have to be. Now I'm going to do one more. There's Adam. There's Adam. There's Adam. There's Adam. He lived for 930 years. How many times do you reckon he sinned? How many times do you sin every day? I'm going to get out of some of it because I ain't going to live 930 years. My little old puny, whatever it's going to be, don't amount to anything compared to 930 years. And you know what Isaiah said? Though their sins be double dyed, just how much are they? Well, this is Adam at 300. Oh. Here's Adam at 300 years old. Well, is there any difference, Adam? Yeah, but And you just keep on till you get it so dark you couldn't see through it. And you know what? Unless God does a work of grace, that's the way it's going to be.
Amen.
And even in our flesh is not clean. And that's why the Bible says that flesh and blood, we're not going to see. The flesh and blood won't see the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you understand the difference between extent and degree? The extent of depravity is total. That's what it means. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, there's no part of your anatomy that is not affected by sin.
Amen.
That's why we live in a sinful body. There's no part of this world that is not affected by sin. That's why it's not conducive to good life for many people. That's why you got to get rid of bugs. That's why you got poisonous snakes. Saw somebody on the Facebook. Looked out there, and there was a great big rattlesnake stretched out in the yard. Well, once the kids went out there to play, that rattlesnake could kill them. Why do we have stuff like that? And there's worse things than that. I don't know how much, but there's worse things than that. Why do we have all of this? Because this is a sin-cursed world, and we live in a sin-cursed body. Some of us get in old age and don't have much wrong with us, but we do have something wrong with us. We're into old age. Some people don't even make it into old age, and their bodies are rim-racked with everything you can think of. Isn't that right, Dave? Why? So, well, why is one like this, one like that? I don't know. You'll have to take that up with God. But the fact of the matter is that we are all depraved and we are all cursed with this body.
Amen.
Now, there's some people that think that they can do something about it, their own selves. I wonder who thought that, Adam and Eve. They thought they could do something about what they had just done. They looked down and said, hey, we're naked. They didn't even know that before.
Oh,
woo! We're naked now. We got to cover ourselves. Give me some of them big fig leaves, Eve. Make us some, as that old Bible said, breeches. There's an old Bible, the Breeches Bible, because it says, fig leaves for covers and for breeches. Pants. They knew they needed to be covered up. Well, we'll do it the best way we can. I hear people saying, I don't believe that gospel y'all talk about, grace y'all talk about. I'm just going to do it the best way I can. I'm going to go to the Masons and learn how to cover myself. Oh, yeah, they do it in droves. Well, I think I like the pomp and splendor of the Catholic Church. I think I'll get in there. It's all right, any way you want to do it. No, the message coming from the Garden of Eden, it ain't all right any way you want to do it. Matter of fact, seemingly innocent pair of breeches made with fig leaves just flat won't do it. This calls for something far more severe. And God killed an animal. Now, I don't know for sure what that animal was, but I expect it was a sheep. And he killed one and made coverings for two. That blew on it. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, I don't know why God let Adam sin, except that God didn't make robots. Could God have made robots? Yes. Would you want to be a robot? Well, the Democrat Party has tried to make robots out of us all, and it ain't over with yet. But I don't want to be a robot. I ain't going to be no robot. I'd rather die than be a robot. God didn't put that in me. He said, well, what did God do for you? He gave me a different willer. He made me willing to come. I wasn't, but he took my old willer out and gave me a new willer. And that willer said, yay, Lord, here I come. Well, Adam sinned by his own free will. And let me just say this for all the Armenians, listen. I do believe in free will. I do. I absolutely believe in free will. I believe that Adam was made with a completely free will. I do not believe that God made Adam sin. I do not believe that Satan made Adam sin. I don't even believe that the serpent made Eve bite the fruit. Doesn't bother me to call it an apple, but whatever it was. They were not coerced. I mean, somebody holding your throat, say, you either agree with this or I'll choke you. That's coercion. They had no coercion. Adam was not moved by outward, exterior entities. Adam moved totally with his own will. Yes, I am a free willer. Adam exercised his free will. But he's the last one to ever have one. Okay. Until Jesus, the last Adam, came. Amen. Jesus had a perfect free will. Adam didn't have sin to move him. He was without sin. It wasn't sin that moved Adam. I don't know how I can explain. I can't explain how Lucifer fell. But I believe he did it of his own free will. I can't explain how Adam fell. But I believe he did it of his own free will. But I also believe that there was not another human being that had a free will until the last Adam came, and that was Jesus, God's Christ. Nor do I believe that anybody since Jesus has a free will. You can't show me anywhere where the nature of man has changed. That's why people say, oh, well, the new birth, that's New Testament doctrine. That's a lie. I know the new birth is not New Testament doctrine. I know the new birth is true from the Garden of Eden with the first man, because if there has not been a radical, regenerating change in you, you're still lost in your sins. But you see, that's the thing about Jesus and his humanity. Jesus came into this same, into this life the same way Adam did. Now they asked the question, did Adam have a belly button? No, him and Eve, either one had one. They didn't need one. The reason we've got a belly button is because we were born in our mother's womb. And that navel was attached. Adam was created by direct creation of God.
Amen.
And so was Eve. When God put Adam to sleep, thank God for anesthesia. We got it from the beginning. Nobody thought about it out here. God thought. God demonstrated it. And they were made by direct creation of God. So was Jesus. What did he say to Mary? The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. There's direct creation of God. Adam came forth not speaking lies, as all kids do. Amen?
Amen.
Adam didn't. He didn't come forth speaking lies because he had no sin within him. He did not have a depraved nature. Now did Cain and Abel? Mm-hmm. Not Adam and Eve. They were made by direct creation. Jesus was made by direct creation of God. And therefore, they had a sinless nature. They had not sinned. But you see, the second last Adam, Jesus, he was truly human. He was just as human as Adam was when God created him. No less. And when Mary gave birth to Jesus, she was not Theotokos, the God bearer. As the Roman Catholic Church teaches, and many others are falling right in line with that. She was not the mother of God. She was the mother of the man Christ Jesus. And then through his whole life, he accomplished what Adam, number one, did not. Now, how old was Adam when he sinned? I don't know. I'm not sure you could even count time before he sinned. As far as I can tell, there wasn't any. You can't count time in eternity, can you? I mean, eternity is. It's not was or going to be. Eternity is. Before Abraham was, I am, you know. So how long did Adam live on this earth without sinning? I don't know. Some try to say 100 years. I don't know about all that. I don't know how you're ever going to prove anything like that. Looks to me like it moved right smartly right along. But what did Adam the last Adam, Jesus Christ. He had to make a conscious decision every time he did not sin. He had to choose to not sin. And all these preachers get on my nerves, buddy, when they say, well, the reason Jesus didn't sin is because he was God. You think you're doing something for Christ. You're destroying his humanity.
Amen.
Jesus did not refrain from sin because he was God. He refrained from sin because he was perfect man. And he said he did no sin. And that was throughout his whole life. And so what about the last Adam and the law? Fulfilled. That law is hid in Christ. Because he obeyed every jot and tittle all of his life. Then he went to the cross and paid for the sin debt of all of his people.
Amen. Yes.
And was buried. And 72 hours later, he arose. He conquered death and the sin, the grave,
Amen.
For all of his people. Yeah. I was going to say a lot more, but I can't do it. Two problems with this world. More than that, but two big ones. They know nothing of the sovereign God, and they know nothing of the depraved man. They think somehow they have a right to make all of these decisions. They don't have a right to do anything. All they're doing is creating gods that cannot save